angel of the Lord, that is, a messenger, was sent by God to a town called Nazareth in Galilee. Now, Nazareth was a nowhere place. There's nothing significant about Nazareth at all. It's just a tiny village, and I don't think anything significant ever happened there except Jesus living there. That's its only claim to fame. Nazareth is just a village in Galilee. What is more, Galilee was a very mixed kind of place. You know, Judea, the Judeans thought they were pure Jews, but Galilee was a mixture of Jews and Gentiles, and the Judeans kind of looked down upon it because it was a mixed people, Jews living together with Gentiles in this country. So it was to this little village, Nazareth, in this place called Galilee, that God sent an angel, a messenger, to a young woman named Mary. When I say young, most likely 15, 16, probably not more than 17 years old. More than likely a peasant girl, and no real claim to fame, just a girl. You know, through the centuries, the church has tried to make her into a very special woman. And that kind of ruins the story from my point of view, because she was just a plain girl, just a girl like any other girl in that area. A young woman, engaged to be married, but not yet married. She had not yet had relations with a man. She was called a virgin. And it was to her, this simple peasant girl in this simple little village, that the angel came. And he said to her, "Rejoice!" Well, that's one way to translate it. "Rejoice, for you found favor with God." Or, as I'd like to translate it, a little roughly, "Rejoice, you're one of God's favorites. You are one of God's favorites." Well, you can imagine, Mary, this simple peasant girl in this little village in the middle of nowhere, didn't know what to think. Would you? It's strange. An angel came to her and told her she was one of God's favorites. He also said God was with her. Wow. She was perplexed, it says. But the angel then said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid. It's okay. You are one of God's favorites. And you will conceive and bear a son, and his name will be Jesus, or Joshua, or Yeshua, or whatever, which means Yahweh is the liberator," or something like that. Yahweh saves. God saves. God liberates. Now, to us, I had to explain that. Mary wouldn't have had to have that explained. She would have known what the name meant right off. She would have known, because it was in her native language, she would have understood. "You will call him Jesus, the one who liberates his people. He'll sit on the throne of his ancestor David. He will be the one that we've been looking for all these years." You know, we read about it in the Old Testament lesson. It was promised that there would be a king forever in David's line. We claimed it in the Psalm as well, that there would be a king in David's line forever. This is him. That's what they're saying. The angel said, "You will give birth to this son who will be the liberator of Israel. He will come to you, Mary." Mary said, "Well, that's fine, but I've never been with a man. I'm still a virgin. How can this be? It's impossible." And the angel said, "Don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit will take care of this affair." That was a bad choice of words, wasn't it? Bad choice of words, sorry. "The Holy Spirit will take care of everything, and you will give birth to this son who will be the king, and you'll reign on David's throne forever. He will be called holy because he's the Son of God." And then we're going to say, "Your cousin Elizabeth, in her old age, even now, she's pregnant too. You see, nothing is impossible with God. And Mary said, I am the servant of my God. Let it be unto me according to your will. Let it be unto me as you have said. Good story. Good story. I want to follow this in two different directions. First of all, the story is a fulfillment of the promise. It's about the promise being fulfilled. God had promised that he would send someone to redeem his people. All the way back to the time of David, sent someone to sit on the throne of David, someone to be the liberator, the one who would free his people. And in this story, it's Jesus. It's the one who is coming, and the one whom we know came, Jesus. The one who came to forgive his people's sins, to heal their diseases, to raise them up from death to life. The one who, yes, through that mystery and whatever of death and resurrection, still reigns as the king. He still reigns as the king, the living one. That's what this story is about, the one who comes to set his people free. And he has come. He has come. He came then, and he keeps coming to us. Jesus, the one who lives. That's the first part of this story. And that's the most popular part of the story. I want to go to kind of take a second line of approach, though, with you today. And that is to think of Mary as a pattern of the way God comes to his people, to all of us, in fact. And we're not all Mary. This story's about her. But she is, or could be thought of as what some call an archetype, the first in a series of many, the first of a prototype. When they build a new car, they build one first to show you what it looks like, and then if it looks good, they build all the rest. Or maybe that's what they do to the iPhone too, I suspect. They build one and then they build more. You know, the first of many. That's what she is, the first. But the story goes on, very similar to that. In fact, let me say this. What if a messenger has been sent to you today? Are your ears open? Are you listening? A messenger has been sent to you. You know who that is? That's me. I know you can't. Can you see the? It's hard to see the wings, isn't it? I've come to tell you something, guys. The Lord is with you. You're his favorites. No, I could say that, you know, there's one thing to say that to all of you kind of gathered. You're his favorites. But what I really want to say is, you are his favorite. You are his favorite. You are his favorite. You are his favorite. You are his favorites. Rejoice. You are his favorites. I'm telling you that right now. That's my job. That's what I've come to do, is to let you know, personally, each and every one, that you are a favorite. You are a favorite. You are loved by God. Now, you've heard me say it too many times, so you're probably not perplexed. You're probably just now wagging the talks that way all the time. But it's a pretty amazing thing. You are his favorite. You. Not only that, you will carry within you his son. You will bear him to the world. You. Not just me, not just the other guy, but you. You've been called, equipped, blessed to bear him into the world. Now, some of you will say, or you won't say it this way, but you'll say, well, I'm still a virgin. How can this be? No, you won't say that. You'll probably say, but I don't know anything about this. Nobody told me I was supposed to do this. I have no credentials. In fact, some of you may say, I don't even believe the story. I don't even believe it's true. I don't care. I'm telling you, whoever you are sitting here today, that you are one of his favorites. You may not even know it yet. You don't even understand it yet. That's all right. You're one of his favorites. He loves you. He's called you. He's sending you. You are one of his favorites. Doesn't matter who you are. And you know this business of, well, I'm not a... Mary was this young woman from Nazareth, of all places, huh? A peasant girl. You know, if we're honest, she probably didn't even know how to read. She probably didn't even know how to read. She's the one that God called. Just like he's calling you. You are precious. You are the one. You are a favorite. You may not yet be ready to say, I'm a servant of the Lord, let it be unto me according to your word. I don't know if you're ready. Some of you probably aren't ready to say that. What we often get mixed up is we think, well, until a person says, I'm a servant of the Lord, that changes everything. No, it doesn't. The first half of the story is still true. However you react to it, the story is still true. You're one of God's favorites. And you know, all I can do is keep shouting that at you. A friend of mine sent me a note this week, an email note. He's a pastor back in Nebraska, in the USA. And he said they were having a discussion about predestination in his congregation. And he sent me some stuff. He wanted me to help him out. I wrote back and said, I'm far too busy to take this up this week. But, you know, we put this predestination. What does it mean that Mary was called or you're called? No, it means this. That I'm calling you right now. I'm telling you right now, you're the one. That's it. You're the one. It's over. You're the one. You belong. I won't say I don't care with it how you react to that. I do care. But that's not finally the most important thing. The most important thing is that I've told you. You're one of God's favorites. You're one of God's favorites, and that's just the way it is. For many years, probably 20 years, in the church I served back in America, we had Saturday evening vespers, Saturday evening prayer. And week by week by week by week, I would preach, sit down for a while, just like I do here. Then I would stand up, and I would sing. An angel went from God to a town called Nazareth to a woman whose name was Mary. The angel said to her, Rejoice, O highly favored, for God is with you. You shall bear a child, and his name shall be Jesus, the only Son of God Most High. And Mary said, I am the servant of my God. I live to do your will. At that point, the congregation would stand up and sing, My soul proclaims your greatness, O God, and my spirit rejoices in you. Notice my family's humming because they're I want you to think about that, though. Think about that, what we just did. Because thinking this through this week, it's become more clear to me than it ever was in the past. The word is preached, and then we're given this archetype, if you will, of Mary, of the word coming to her. And what did the congregation do every week? Stood up and sang her song. Her song. My soul proclaims your greatness, O God, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. You see, that's what happens when the Holy Spirit goes to work. The Holy Spirit goes to work, and all of a sudden you realize, I'm the one that's called. I'm the one. And that's all I can tell you today is you're the one. You're precious. you're loved, you're forgiven. And all those promises are sealed in the blood of Jesus. All of them are sealed in the blood of Jesus. You could say, I don't know if that's true or not, but okay. I'll say it again. All those promises are sealed in the blood of Jesus. He died saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He just keeps on saying it. Just keeps on repeating it. In his resurrected life, he just keeps on repeating it. You are precious. You are a child of God. You belong, whoever you are, however, you know, whatever is going on, you're one of the favorites. You're one of the favorites, each and every one of you. I'm going to quit there. I have more to say, but I'm going to quit. You are a favorite. Bless you. Amen.